Oh, just lift your hands to heaven. And Father, we just stand in awe of who you are. Yes, we are in awe of who you are. For our hope, our strength, and our life is in you. And we ask for your forgiveness today, Father, of every area where we've offended you. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Touching unclean things in rebellion. Doing it our way instead of your way. Wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, and fill us with your spirit as we welcome you today, Holy Spirit. Come, take your rightful place. Establish your kingdom in us and through us. Let the image, likeness, character, anointing, and power of Christ be manifested in us and through us, that Jesus would be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How's everybody today?
Blessed
and amen. And you know what kind of day it is? It is a wonderful day to die. Glory. Would you turn to the Gospel of John? How many know the Lord loves a sanctified heart?
Amen.
Somebody that's set apart totally for him. You know, we've been talking about coming out, you know, and the coming out in the area of coming out of the wilderness, even though we're in the wilderness. And in this, God is pruning us. And by pruning us, it's so that we can bear more fruit. And there's areas where we've got to cooperate with God, and sometimes it just seems a little bit difficult. And we have a tendency to want to run back to the old way. And one way or another, it could be just an old comfort zone, you know, where things begin to get a little tough. But I'm telling you, God is beginning to fold up comfort zones. Because the only comfort zone you have is a spirit of comfort. He's called the comforter. In other words, he's trying to get us, no matter what we're going through, to constantly run to him and not run to the world. And one of the things that the world is looking for is somewhere to run to. And, you know, they're running into nightclubs. They're running to drugs, alcohol, whatever. They're running for somewhere for some relief. They're getting involved in a cult looking for power. They're trying all kinds of things. And some of this is because so many labels have been brought down through tradition, even in the church. Things of tradition. I know I was an individual that hated going to church. I thought it was for everybody who was getting ready to die and go home. Because that's all I knew was a dead church. I believed that there was a God, but I didn't know that there was anything more he had to offer me until I met him. And my life changed. Actually, not my life changed. I got a life. Sometimes you want to tell somebody, get a life, will you? I mean, get the real life, you know, quit fooling around. But in this, the world is looking for somewhere to go to. They're looking for a place of fulfillment. They're looking for a place of comfort. They're looking for a place of answers. Because even during the years, many times the church didn't have the correct answers. But you know, the Bible tells us that by the Spirit, things would be revealed in the last days. In other words, the answers have been revealed now. More and more than ever. You're able to answer now those who've going out into the world and looking for answers or trying to fulfill their questions of why. And one of the things that they're looking for is they want to know why they're here, who they are, and where they're going. But the world lies to them, tells them that this is it. Enjoy life while you can, because after this, it's over with. But that's not true. You know, one of the things that really struck my heart this morning in my spirit was the area of looking beyond life. Looking beyond life. And in this looking beyond this life that we have here on this realm, that there is such a greater life awaiting for us. And I really believe that so many times we get so caught up in this life that we forget to look beyond this life into the other life that's awaiting for us. And we begin to struggle and get frustrated. Now, this life that is waiting for us beyond this life is true life. This life that you and I have in this realm is temporary, but we're not of this realm. But we carry an eternal life within us, and it's called living water. And many people are looking for a drink, and they don't have to go to a nightclub to get it. So you are carrying living water. And on verse 37 in chapter 7 of the book of John, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast. And I want you to understand, he says last day. Because in these last days, there is refreshing, and there's going to be a great move of God coming, but there's a move of God here right now. And he says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, hallelujah, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Now this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And this is very powerful, because even when somebody accepts Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit is not given until he's glorified. Does everybody see that? In other words, even though you've accepted Jesus as Savior, and I'm not saying you can't get baptized in the Holy Ghost also, because who's to say what God can do and can't do? We'd never put limitations on him. But there's an area where many people are still waiting to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they haven't yet because Jesus has not been glorified in their life. They're still using him as Savior. So the world is looking for this living water. And this living water is known as the Spirit, or what flows from the Spirit. It is life. Has everybody got it? And it says, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So something must happen. Something must happen. That means there must be a given heart, to have a heart that will flow of life. That means that you must give your heart. See, it's more than just accepting Jesus as Savior. Now you're giving your heart, and a given heart to Christ will exchange for the heart of Christ, and it will produce life. Is everybody with me? Go to Proverbs 23. A given heart. Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Would you read it with me, please? Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth. Say it again. Buy the truth. That means there's a price for the truth. That means that you must give up what you believe is true to get the truth. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Don't exchange it. Don't get bribed. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart. Would you read that with me? My son, give me your heart. Say it again. Give me your heart. One more time. Give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. Now, this is powerful because a given heart will see his ways. A given heart will see his ways. A heart that's not given will not see his ways. Because the heart of Christ is his spirit. The heart of Christ is his spirit. And he is the carrier of the eternal presence, power, and truth called the anointing. So the heart of Christ is his spirit. Does everybody got it? See, because your heart is the character of your spirit. And out of the mouth speaks your heart. So if your heart is contaminated, you'll speak things contaminating. If your heart is pure, you'll speak those things that are pure. Romans 8. A given heart. So what is the heart of Christ? His spirit. In Romans 8 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Romans 8, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? These are sons of God. So being led by the Spirit, you are known as a son of God. Why? Because now you are carriers of the heart of Christ. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father, which means daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is where we are dependent on the Holy Spirit. Walking by faith, not by natural sight. Because faith is connected to the heart of Christ. Faith is connected to the heart of Christ. Is everybody with me? Now remember, you're being led by the Spirit. You are a son of God. Why? Because the heart of Christ is the Spirit of Christ. So if you are led by the Spirit of God, the heart of Christ is manifested in you. And by this you are walking by faith, not by natural sight, but because you are being led by the Spirit, you have spiritual sight. That's why he says, give your heart to me, then you will see my ways. That's why many have not got to this point yet. They've not truly given their heart. That means wherever you have shared your heart, you must call it in. The only heart you're supposed to share is the heart of Christ. It didn't say that out of the carnal fleshly heart, rivers of living water flowed. No, rivers of living water flows out of the heart of Christ because he is the Spirit of Christ. And so many times we've shared our heart instead of the heart of Christ. We have contaminated our heart. And it must be called back from the north, south, east, and west to be given totally to the Lord. Hebrews 11. You know, there isn't any safer place than to have your heart in the hands of God. You know, if your heart's in the hands of God, you won't be offended. You know, if your heart's in the hand of God, you won't be hurt. It's amazing. So many people go, oh, I'm hurt. Oh, you ain't dead. See, because if your heart's in the hand of God, you're dead to yourself. Then only heart, the heart of Christ, which is the Spirit of Christ, is living in you. And it's no longer you that live, but Him. In Hebrews 11, is everybody there? In verse 6. Would you read it with me? But without faith it is what? Impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. Yes. So what pleases God? Faith. Now the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. But He's talking about natural sight. But this faith He's talking about is connected to the heart of Christ, so that you are walking by spiritual sight. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So faith pleases him because faith is connected to his heart, which is his spirit. And this promotes a divine nature. It promotes a divine nature, which is the character, image, and likeness of Christ. See, the Father is looking for His Son's heart. He's looking for His Son's heart. See, maturity is not about knowledge. Maturity and maturing is the maturing of the heart of Christ in each and every one of us. Because if the heart of Christ is maturing in you, are you listening? You become like Him. See, that's maturing. It's becoming more and more like Jesus. It isn't about how much you know. It's about becoming like Him. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 2. Let's read it together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This divine nature is established by manifesting the heart of Christ in fellowship of His Spirit. Does everybody see it? Why? Because the heart is expressing the character of your spirit. Again, the Father searches for the heart of His Son in each and every one of us. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's read it together. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience and from sincere faith. Well, that sounds like Christ. From which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing that the law is not made for what? For a righteous person. But for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for the manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Wow. So we see here, I mean, this is powerful, love from a pure heart, good conscience and sincere faith. We see that is the heart of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. See, this is the area where the Bible tells us, come out from among them and be separate. You know, there's an area where people are trying to come out physically from the world, but you can't come out physically from the world until you come out spiritually. And that means that you have to give your heart. That means you're committed, no matter what, all the way to the end. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. We're not the butt ministry. We're not the tail. We're the head. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now you, all right, now. So walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, means that the heart of Christ is being manifested in you. And out of that heart, living water is going to flow. Now, there are fruits, aren't there, of the Spirit? It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things which you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not what? Under the law. Now, is the law made for the righteous or the unrighteous? For the unrighteous. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But if you're not led by the Spirit, you're under the law. Amen. And that's where many believers forsake. They think that just because they've accepted Jesus as Savior and go out and do all of these other things that are not righteous before the eyes of God, that they're rescued. I'm sorry. You're lost. And the law is waiting to judge you. Only those led by the Spirit are not under the law. Does everybody get it? Good. Let's go a little further. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and anything that's associated or like that, that is contrary to the righteousness of Christ. And anyone, he says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice anything like that, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit it. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is what? No law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, right? And verse 24. And those who are what? Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the fruit of the Spirit is expressed through the character of Christ with discernment. With what? Discernment. With what? Discernment. Go to Romans 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 19. You will say, then branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. And you stand by what? Faith. Why? Because faith is connected with what? The heart of Christ. So you're walking by faith and not by natural sight, but you're walking by spiritual sight. Do not be haughty, but what? Fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he's talking about the Jews. For God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. In other words, God's kindness or goodness, and also his judgment on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness or kindness. If what? If you continue in his kindness or goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they did not continue in unbelief, would be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you are cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I did not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Does everybody see this? This is so powerful. So we see that there's an area where there's kindness and goodness of God, and then there's severity, judgment of God. Now, and this is why it's so important to have discernment. Because the Bible tells us that those who associate or agree with those who practice ungodliness will be judged the same with them. That's why he says, come out from among them. So those, and I want you to understand this. This is why it's so important to be led by the Spirit. Because this is one of the areas that the enemy operates greatly. By being led by the Spirit is the area where you are able to discern. Because there are many of those who can only see goodness and kindness and not righteousness. Amen. They can only see goodness and kindness and not righteousness. Amen. And I want you to understand something, and please get this. Because if an individual can only see goodness and kindness and not righteousness, they promote false grace. If they can only see goodness and kindness and not righteousness, they promote false grace. Is everybody with me? And it sometimes leads to the Lord to use his sovereignty with them, because there is what we call unsanctified mercy. Unsanctified mercy is showing mercy to the things God did not approve. Does everybody got it? Or showing mercy to the things that God disapproves. I'm going to say this again because it is one of the ploys of the devil. I get around a lot of people, that cannot see the righteousness. They see goodness and kindness, and that's all they look at. But I'm telling you, that's promoting false grace. Because you must be led and you must be able to discern. They cannot see the righteousness. See, because if you see the righteousness of Christ, you'll see the unrighteousness. Are you listening? So they can only see goodness and kindness. They can't see the other. So what they do then is they promote what they call false grace and unsanctified mercy, because they're giving mercy to something God has not approved or has disapproved. And it is a ploy of the devil to get an individual caught up in the area where they are approving something that somebody is practicing that is not godly, so that judgment can come on that person also. Is everybody with me? That's why he says, come out from among them. That's why he says, separate yourself from brothers and sisters that are walking unruly. And don't participate with those who practice ungodliness, because if you approve of those things with them, you will be judged with them also. Why? Because the Bible tells us a law. What you sow is what you reap. And the devil would love you to sow in the area of ungodliness and even approving of it, so that he can get you to reap corruption. Is everybody with me? I know this may be a little strange for some of you today, but this is truth, and it's truth that makes us free. And God is pouring this out to us today because many of his children are being deceived, and they have no idea that they're going to be judged according to the unrighteousness of those who are practicing unrighteousness, because they can't not see the righteousness of Christ. That's why you must be led by the Spirit. Then you are sons of God. Are you listening? Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 19. Eli was one of the examples who was a prophet of God for many years, but he was old and he allowed his sons to constantly commit adultery, profane the temple. And he didn't kick their butt. He didn't chasten them enough. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. So by not doing that, he looked at goodness and kindness and not severity. His sons died, and so did he. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken from Israel on that day. See, the Ark of the Covenant represented the heart of God. So the heart of God dwelt with man. But it was taken from Israel that day, because they only looked at goodness and kindness and not severity. Is everybody okay? In Psalm 19, is everybody there? In verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them there is what? Great reward. And that's where he says, by the truth. In other words, there is a price. And that is to give your heart, a given heart. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. That means coming in agreement. For as he thinks, where? In his heart. In other words, his heart, I want you to get this. His heart is causing him to think. So as a man thinks in his heart, in other words, his thoughts are coming from his heart now. So as a man thinks, as he sees in his heart, so he is. So if the heart of Christ is in you, your thoughts will be associated with the heart of Christ. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is what? Is not with you. And it says in verse 8, for the morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. So as a man thinks, so he is, right? Go to Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. Is everybody all right? You getting it? It's impartation from the Lord that we may be able to discern even more in these last days. Ezekiel 11:17. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Now God's talking about us and our bodies and the things that we're associated with also. And I will give them what? One heart, and put a new spirit within them. Ah, you see how the heart and the spirit are associated. And take away the what? Stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. That they may what? Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. So the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them. And the glory of the Lord went from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Then the Spirit took me up, and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God to Chaldea, to those where? In captivity. And the vision that I had seen went up from me. So I spoke to those where? In captivity, and all things the Lord had shown me. Why? Because you are carrying living water now. You are carrying truth. You are carrying life. The life giver is now in you. Because you carry the heart of Christ, which is the Spirit of Christ, to bring life and freedom to those who are in captivity. I'm going to close at Ezekiel 18. In verse 30, it says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all of your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a what? A new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and live. Hallelujah. A given heart. It's time. Search yourself. Judge yourself. Find out whether you're really giving your heart to him, if it's totally his. And wherever you've shared your heart, in the area of idolatry, idols, in any area, call it back. Repent, turn, wash it with the blood, and give it totally to the Lord. Do not take your heart back. Give it to God. And let the heart of Christ, which is the Spirit of Christ, lead you into all things so that you'll think according to the heart of Christ, which is the mind of Christ. By that, we'll become like-minded. We'll all be like-minded. We'll all be one accord, and unity will be established, and the power of God will flow through this earth like never before. And this is what he is desiring of every one of his children, that they lose their heart and get his heart. That we become united and usher in his return. And to God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed, and we repent for every area, Lord, where we have shared our heart, contaminated our heart, and not given you all of our heart. We call it back from the north, south, east, and west, Father, and we commit to you our heart, that the heart of Christ can be manifested. The Holy Spirit would lead us, that we'd be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit, and that your character and image and likeness of Christ would be manifested through us by the fruits of the Spirit, and that the river of living water, the drink, the eternal drink that we carry, would be replaced for the drink of cup of demons, and that the cup of the Lord would be granted to those who have been taken in captivity in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.